Welcome to Family Life. Your host, Shalima Muhammad, and Dr. Nadia Muhammad.
Dr. Nadia Muhammad is
participating in community projects and will rejoin us again on October 24th. This program is sponsored by New Africa Excellence, where Rod speaks. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. I greet the listening audience in the peace of Assalamu alaikum. This week, discussion, presidential election, the crucial importance of voting. This week's guest is Sister Jamia Adams. Sister Jamia was born in 1970 in San Francisco. Jamia Anise Adams' family were members of the Nation of Islam. Her family and half of her extended family became followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when they joined Temple Church of Six in San Francisco's Fillmore District. Jamia, along with several cousins and her sisters, began their schooling at Muhammad University, where her uncle David drove the school bus and her mother, aunts, and uncles made up the ranks of MGT and FOI. When her family left the nation in 1975, they continued studying Al-Islam at home. Jamia went on to receive her undergraduate degree from San Francisco State University and broadcast communication and video production, and a master's of professional writing degree from the University of Southern California. It was in D.C. where Jamia moved in part to work for the first black president. She became reconnected with the Imam Wahidin Muhammad Ummah at Masjid Muhammad. From the first day she entered the door, she knew that she was home. Professionally, Jamia has produced educational advocacy, and documentary media for the internet, television, radio, and film. Her consulting work went hand in hand with a keen acumen for social and digital media strategy as she advised organizations on how to augment their presence in the digital arena using existing tools, including content management systems, mobile, online advertising, and social media. She began her digital career at CBS Entertainment as a producer and transitioned from there to an outreach director position at Brave New Foundation and Films. Jamia went on to produce web videos and content for diverse communities. From American Muslims to her constituency work at the Democratic National Committee on behalf of President Obama. Jamia led the communications and digital media departments for the NAACP, directing strategy for civil rights and social justice marches, and acting as a spokesperson for the oldest civil rights organization. Jamia uses her knowledge of production coupled with executive management experience in both the mainstream and digital media to consult advocacy, faith, and policy organizations to improve the lives of working Americans and those who need their cause amplified. Currently,
Assalamu alaikum.
Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio, coming to you at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. in living color around the world. It gives me great privilege, and I'm surely I am highly honored to be able to come to you to say something to the right. It takes time out of one's busy schedule to be able to bring you these broadcasts, but we do it for the sake of Allah, to be able to study and learn and obtain the knowledge in which you can obtain when you take time out of your busy schedule and study the words of God. When you study the words of God and you learn it to benefit yourself, you must give it back. Everything that's good, brothers and sisters, you must give back. For God gives you the air to breathe. If you hold your breath, you will die. You must give it back. For God gives you the food to eat. If you don't give it back, you must die. God gives you the water to drink. And if you don't let it out, you will die. Everything that's good for the human being is good for the whole entire universe. The human being around the world must drink water and must breathe in his air. If you don't understand that, then you're not studying. You just live it. You just don't care. You don't understand that we are given gifts by God, and then we give it back. There's a saying in the Holy Quran, a beautiful loan to your Lord is a beautiful loan. A loan to your Lord is beautiful. But do you really think God needs anything from us? Now, that's mathematically impossible to obtain that thought. But he is so merciful that he says that when you do things for the sake of God, that's a loan. Meaning you don't have to do it. When you loan someone something, it's because you care for that individual. And so therefore, you will let them borrow your automobile. You will let them borrow your mink. You will let them borrow your clothing. Yes. And surely you will let them borrow your money. Now all those things are very precious to you. And they say the latter part, your money is where your heart is. Now, brothers and sisters, you don't loan people something and put them in debt. However, where it comes from, Allah has gave us a loan. For you look in the mirror, that's a loan. And that earth must go back that you see your physical specimen. But what is under that? That is housing the bones. And what is under those bones? And that is the internal organs of the human being. But that's your spirit. And your spirit is your nature in which you have been created. And so when you got the soul that awakens the nature in which God has breathed into it some of his spirit, then you have to give it back. And if you don't give it back, brothers and sisters, there's no way you can understand without a shadow of doubt that Allah, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, says a beautiful loan to your Lord is a beautiful loan. A loan to your Lord. What are you loaning him? Well, you say to people that I gave you that money for the sake of Allah. I don't want it back. I walked you across the street for the sake of Allah. I don't want it back. You don't have to give me accolades because if you do, I get one for one. But when I do it for the sake of Allah, Allah pays me back in bundles of blessings for 10 to 1 times 10. That's 101. So these blessings that comes from your Lord is greater than a blessing coming from the individual. An individual can do many things for you. You can go and take an elderly person to the store. Go in there and shop for that Elliot person. And go in his pocket and pay for the food. Put the bags in the automobile, open the door for that woman or that man and take them home. Take the package upstairs and put it up. Yes, take the food out of the bag and put what's supposed to be in the refrigerator, what should be in the cabinet, and say, well, anything else I can do for you, madam or sir? No, that's okay, son. And you walk out the door. And as you drive, you say, my God, that person did not say thank you. But if, in fact, that person would have said thank you, that's all you would have got with those accolades. But you didn't do it for someone to give you accolades or to pat you on your back. What did you do it for? You did it for the sake of Allah. A loan to your Lord is a beautiful loan. And when you do this for your duration on this earth, then that's what you cash in, because you and I and every human being that hear the sound of my voice, you owe a debt to God. Well, you know the word debt. We have debt in this world. And we believe that we have to pay whoever we owe back. Yes, you have it. You should pay it. Well, Allah is not talking about the American currency, not the gold or the silver. That's not what God is talking about. What loan did he make to the human being? Did you look at them in the mirror and see those eyes? Well, who created those eyes? It wasn't your mother nor your father. Who created that nose with two nostrils? It wasn't that your mother or your father. Who created that mouth that you speak with, that you eat with? Who created the teeth that you can bite with and chew with? Who created that chin? Who created that big head and put hair on top of it? That face, that image of your face, we all don't look alike. Some of us favors one another. But what about the fingertips? What about your Adam apple? What do you swallow it? How do you move every day with your hands, your arms, your legs? And that which you chew, where do all the vitamins and nourishing and proteins from that which you eat, who distributes it when it goes down your throat? Surely mom and daddy can't do that, and you are not doing that. Who is doing that? Allah. So he gave us a loan. So we owe him a debt. We have to pay it back. And how do we pay it back? With this currency? I don't think so. But you owe God a debt. And the only way you won't get in paradise to pay your debt is with your barakah, meaning your blessings, as I opened up with, in doing for people that which you don't have to do. Now, we say we are on the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him. Yes, you are on the sunnah. But did you assume your own responsibility? What is your responsibility? Your responsibility is that which you was created to do in this society. And the barakat, meaning the blessings, come from that which you don't have to do. That's the sunnah. Oh my God. You see a man in trouble trying to put the tire on his automobile, and you stop to help him. He didn't have to do that. But look what you receive. Barakah. Oh, you see an old lady trying to cross the street. You don't want to get hit by a car. So you go and help her. Barakah. Wow, brothers and sisters, you see one in trouble, you come and help that person. You may even have to take it to the hospital, he or she. Barakah. You see a child walking and you don't know where the parents is, so you try to find out. You take the little child to the precinct or wherever, to the hospital, wherever you may take them where they can contact their parents. Barakah. You say a kind word to a neighbor, a stranger. It may be a Filipino. It may be an African. It may be from China or Mexico. Wherever it may be, it's a he or she is a human being, so you greet them. How are you today? Greetings to you. Yes, peace be on to you when you leave them. Barakah. You see paper on the floor, on the ground. You know, you walk through a building, you see paper, you pick it up. You might go through the mall and see someone and drop one of the clothing on the floor, you pick it up. You don't have to do that. When you see trash on the street corner, or when you get out your automobile, yeah, so keep your handy whites with you. So you might have to pick up that and put it in the garbage. America. These are the different things that we call your sunnah, soon your own responsibility. And brothers and sisters, this myth that in Islam is compulsory, no. No, no. But God says, and I will quote him, there's no compulsory in Islam. So who are you trying to make your mother, your father, your sibling, your uncle, your aunt? How about your neighbor? How about your friend? You trying to push Islam on them? And then you charge them because they didn't accept it? Well, it's not compulsory. So nobody cannot say, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this. Well, you're not reading, because Allah didn't make you do anything. Allow me to share it with you. For Allah created the angels, and the angels does the will of God. The angels can't rationalize. The angels don't make no decisions. The angel does not question God. The angels do the will of God. Allah wants storm, he calls for the angels that's over top of the storm. If Allah calls rain, he calls the angels that's over top of rain. When Allah calls earthquakes, the angels, the sun rises with the angels, the moon rises with the angels. Yes, the stars come out with the angels. And man can't find out no root, no wire. What is keeping the sun, the moon, and the stars coming out religiously every day and every night? The angels do the will of God. They have a job. You is raised, and I, a little above the angel. Why? You have a responsibility. And your responsibility is to think five times and react. And you have a right consciously to make your own decision. So you can decide wrong and not accept right. Well, isn't that a great example that Allah is saying nothing is compulsory when it comes to him? You can accept him or reject him. But you chose to accept it, Barakah. And most of us accepted to reject it, the hellfire. Same way when you just decide to make a decision, live an upright life with no crime, no diabolical mind, no thug, not trying to hurt or kill or steal someone, or bite your brother, eat the flesh of your brother. When you chose not to do that, can you do that? Yes, but you chose not to. But those who chose to sell drugs, those who chose to be a pimp, those who chose to bite or stab his brother or mistreat the next human being or be a liar, be a woman beater. Those who chose to serve Satan, why, brothers, call temporary heaven for permanent hell. Yes, you bring the hell on you. And the more you do wrong, it's called the hell fire. You see how God gives you a choice? And that's why Satan don't like you, because Satan says you don't deserve to have that kind of power. But there's no compulsory in Islam.
We want to greet our brothers and sisters out there and our loved ones out there and our family members that's out here, our acquaintances and our associates and our those who sympathize with us, those who support us around the world, and those who have love for us, and those who envy of us, and those who come to take us down, and those who work for Satan. Yes, they're called our enemies. We say to all of you, including our enemies, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto all of us out there that is hearing my voice. We say Assalamu alaikum to each and one of you. May peace and blessings be upon you. I am Murad Muhammad coming to you live from Block Talk Radio, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. And I choose to take Saturday. Soon we will have someone scheduled for Saturday. But normally I do Monday and Tuesday. And then you got Imam Eli Obey who comes on from 7 to 8 on Wednesday. And our beautiful sister, Michelle Muhammad, who comes on Wednesday at 8 to 9. And then Thursday, Eli was back, teaching the Tafsir of Imam Waqifini Muhammad, has done a wonderful job in bringing you the actual words of Imam Waqifini Muhammad. Then on Friday, we have our distinguished brother, outstanding brother who is the grandchild, the eldest grandchild alive of Booker T. Washington, an educator, a professor, and an imam, Imam Musa Muslim Abui. Now, Musa came on Friday, yesterday, and to show you how we are dedicated and what we tried to bring to you, that Musa was traveling, and he had left the number in his office. So he called me and asked me to give him the number, and surely I did so. But because of his telephone call, AT&T, the difference, and a lot of people don't know the difference from AT&T and Verizon. If you look at the chart around the map of the country, Verizon's everywhere. Very rare you will not see Verizon exist in any part of the country. But when you take on another telephone, as you travel, you're going through zones. And if they're not in that zone, you will lose the communication. You can't understand the words. Of course, he didn't know that. And he apologized for that. Well, he's human. For 8 months, he did a magnificent job. We thought he was perfect. But Allah will reward him for his good intentions. Even though we don't know what he was saying, every other word, but because his heart was correct. You see how merciful God is? Things don't happen sometimes the way you would want it to happen. But if, in fact, you had bad intentions, then Allah punish you. But things happen and you had good intention and it did not happen, then Allah rewards you. Let me see if I can put this in perspective. You know, there was a guy that took a child and threw it under the bus. Here come the bus. That child could have been killed. Is that correct? Well, who saved the child? He did. Why? Because he looked back and saw up in the fourth story someone looking down and saw him do it. But we on the ground witnessed this man jump for that little girl and bring her back. Oh, did we applaud him. Oh, did we give him accolades. But that young lady who saw the real deal knows that he did that in bad intention. So that's just the fourth law. Well, how high is God? Well, mathematically, you can't tell me how you think he's higher than that. So Allah sees everything. And even though on ground we give him these accolades, Allah will punish him for bad intention. But then you have another gentleman saw the child walk out in the street, and he saw the bus coming. And he ran. Boy, did he run. Time he got to the curb, he tripped. And the baby got hit. Oh, we lost that child. He feels bad. But God rewarded him as if he saved them, as if he saved the baby for what? Good intentions. Meaning it was meant to lose that child. Wasn't his will. Now you would say, why would God will a child to lose their life? How old was it? One? How about two? How about three or four? How about five? These children without sin. You know how many years they have to go through trial and error to make it to heaven? Allah has just sent them to heaven. They wasn't meant to be in this world anymore. You and I saw it, and we feel bad about it. It's a lesson to us, and some of us grieve because of that death. But that little child, their spirit, the nature of the human being was taken from that earth. So the bus only hit the earth. It didn't kill God's creation. His crown of creation doesn't die. So Allah removed that child. We hurt worse than the child. The child's on his way to paradise where we're trying to go. But that's a lesson to man that someone should put a light on that corner, a traffic light, or somebody should be there to stop these cars from moving them from and to and from at a pace that they can kill someone if they hit them. It just happened recently in New York. And these are the things we need to talk about because we look at it and we see it, but most of us don't care anything about it. These broadcasts is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Maraj Speaks. And they bring it to you, once again, I reiterate, 7 days a week from 7 to 9, from Monday to Sunday, and 52 weeks out of the year. Unbelievable. Communication is everything. And we have to learn how to communicate. That's our problem. We don't communicate. So we try to incorporate in everyday life what is needed. What is needed for us as African Americans to understand that we have chosen to be the leader of all humanity. Now that's bold, but who suffered worse than we? There's a reason why we suffered, brothers and sisters. But do you take time out and think, why did our ancestors suffer? But our ancestors made a covenant with Allah. Oh, yes, they did. And they begged for us and pleaded for us that Allah would save their children. And look at us today. For we are not in slavery physically. And those who are in slavery mentally, you can't get that to nobody but yourself. But do we pray for our ancestors? Do we think about that, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors caught hell and was treated unjustly by a human being called the Caucasian that have set them up to be God and the Lord and the punisher of the human being, African American. And they didn't want us to do what we're doing now, and that's read Words make a people, brothers and sisters. What you say is really who you are. Yes, we don't understand that, but we should. God has always awakened us. Our mind is divine. And we are good people. And we try to be trustworthy because when you come into your mind and want to be truthful, then God is with you. But we've always been mentally dead, called darkness. Those who are mentally in darkness, well, very hard for them to do good. They can't understand why they believe they should be corrected. That's the nature of the human being. We have men in Islam called Muslims, and I say called Muslims because all of us are Muslims. Muslim means one who submits to the will of Allah. Not a leaf fall from the tree without his will. Not a palm tree can bend and come back from the storm without the will of Allah. For the sun cannot rise, nor the moon cannot come out, whether it's a quarter moon, half a moon, or a full moon. It cannot exist without God's will. The sun cannot shine and rise religiously without God's will. That's a Muslim. The stars that you see at night, you can follow the stars and get from one point to another. But yet the stars look like you can touch them. The naked eye can see them. But if you take a spaceship, and you know how fast that goes, you will never hit that star. How is it that that star is so far away, but it looks like you can touch it? That's the will of Allah. How is it the sun can go down and it gets dark and it goes into triple darkness? But where is the light on the other side of the world? But then it comes back. So the light moves because of the will of God, and the darkness gives light. And that's how we do our prayers, brothers and sisters. You know, our day begins at Fajr. And Fajr prayer is the dawning prayer. But there's a reason, and surely I can't take these hour and a half to teach you the in-depth, but I can give you some food of thought. So we, under Islam, called Muslims. You under Christianity are Muslims, and you under Judaism and any other religion. You're Muslim in your nature, and your nature is obedient to God. Yes, there's not a human being that was created that has a different nature. For the animals and the insects and the birds and the bees, Allah has risen you above them. Did you understand that? That you are above God that created everything in the heavens and the earth just for you? And God needs nothing of that? Nothing of his creation? Well, he created for you and I. And so, in Fajr prayer, we have to call the Adhan. That means the call to prayer. And everything we do has meaning to it. You hear us say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That's the call to prayer, to get your five senses in order, because you just have awakened. You awakened from the dead, for you were in REM. And when you're in REM, you don't know nothing. So Allah has awakened you from the dead. Did you know you was being awakened from the dead? He said, I resurrect the dead. Well, you was dead. But it just don't mean the physical death. It means also the mental death. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad raised us from the dead. We were dead, deaf, and blind. So there's many meanings when you speak of God. There's no one word got one meaning. So you walking around. You walking, but you're dead. A dead man walking. But God says, the altar to die, you must die. Now, anybody else will look at that and say, well, that's trick words. No, it means just that. You have to die in order to die. So let's just start you to think, how can I die to die? Because you're an alcoholic. Die from that before you die and can't come back. Drug addict, die from that before you die a natural death and can't come back. See, if you die from the things that hold you from being upright, then you can live before you die. So you got to die to order for you to die. Because you don't want to leave here with a record that doesn't pay God back his debt. Because you and I owe him a debt. So brothers and sisters, you keep in mind, as Fajr prayer, you have awakened. Who awakened you? Oh, my wife tapped me on my shoulder and told me to awaken. Who awakened her? So you got to be able to put it in perspective. You understand that she had to awaken to or to awaken you. And not a leaf fall from the tree without the will of God. You know that. So she could not awaken if Allah didn't will it. There's nothing good that happens in this world without the will of God. Shall I reiterate? Nothing good. Because anything bad is man. Everything, whether it's little or large, is Allah. Allah does not create nothing bad. Oh, yes, he did create the devil. No, brother. No, sister. He chose to be a devil. He ain't creating no devil. Now, if you think a guy down there in the earth with a pitchfork with two horns and he's red. No, that's what man created. But you can turn devil overnight. Yeah, you know, it's like a man. You say, brother, how's your wife doing? Oh, she's an angel. Because she was for 5 years. And you see in the next 5 years, oh, brother, how's your wife doing? Oh, she's an angel. In 10 years. And you see him 30 years from now. Brother, how's your wife doing? Oh, she's an angel. But you took on a mindset that you want to bring another wife. So you come home and you open the door and say, darling, and she's not there. But 5 minutes later, she comes in the house and you greet her. And she says to you, just so kind, who is that? You say, oh, this is my new wife. I want to introduce you to her. And she says, excuse me. And she walks past you. And what comes past your ear is a knife. Here come my hammer. Now you running for the door. Meanwhile, she go get the gun. And she's so upset that she's trying to shoot through the door at you. Now that's 30 years. For the first time you saw that. So you run into the next, the same brother a day later. Hey, by the way, how's your wife doing? She's a devil. Oh, you didn't know it was in her to be a devil. Did you get that? Okay, sister. I know you right there, sister. You're always speaking about the female. What about the male? Okay, the male comes home, treated you so well, gave you everything you wanted in life. Boy, bling, bling, mink, beautiful automobiles, beautiful house. But you slipped. You slipped and went outside the marriage and had sex with another man. The problem is you put it all over Facebook. Oh, the husband found out about it. And now that he knows about it, he comes to approach you and he shoots you. And he shoots his children. And he shoots himself. And his mother-in-law was there, he killed him too, killed her too. What did you say? He turned devil. How did this great man that did all these good things for his wife just turn overnight. So who is it that allow these two people to act accordingly? Well, it's because that which you call devil is in you. Oh, you got a choice. There's no in-between, serve God or serve the devil. There's no such thing as in-between, either one or the other. And most of the time, you serve the devil, and that's what happens. You can act like you serve God, but you can turn devil overnight and kill somebody. It's called emotional feelings. And feelings are like a snake, brothers and sisters. It doesn't have legs or feet, but it moves swiftly. Boy, can that snake move. Crawl swiftly, and that's how your feelings work. But to put it in proper perspective, my beautiful sister, that back in 1818, the female outnumbered the male. 10-1. That's a pretty good number. But let's look at it now and see how many women there are to men. Well, let's count them. Let's do it this way. How many men are in jail? So let's subtract from the man. How many men have been murdered? So let's subtract that. How many men is on drugs? Let's subtract that. How many men don't know whether they're a man or a woman? They like both. They call down low. Let's subtract that. How many men decide to be a female? Whoa. Let's subtract that. Now, if you subtract those five, and I'm quite sure there's more, then you cannot come up with 10-1. How about 30-1? So if it's 8 billion people out there, and you subtract the 30% of 8 billion, well, you don't get 8 billion, do you? 5 billion is some odd number. So all those men and women out there that's gone, yes, you're not going to find a real man. So you have to talk about the woman more so than the man, because there's more plentiful women. And if you don't teach them who they are, what they represent, and where they should be going, you want to have one messed up world. Because the female is the foundation of society. Yeah, as much as you think I beat you up, in that home, you are the Lord. Yes, that child don't know Allah. That child don't know God. That child knows his mama. Why? Because his mama feeds him. His mama clothes him. His mama wipes his butt. His mama teaches him how to walk, how to talk. His mama is the Lord. And you better recognize it. Because without mama, you wouldn't be here. Yes, you got to come through that tunnel if you're human. They want to say we are apes. Yeah, okay, we are. You ain't never seen an ape come from the womb of a human being. That's a myth. You can believe that. You start off as apes. But God said everything in his creation is in his human being. So you, female, have a foundation. I speak all the time on the radio, and sometimes I repeat myself. I'm not redundant, but I say to those who may say, oh, I heard that before. When you repetition with anything, you get better at it. Yes, there's no such thing as repeating or being redundant. You have to be able to plant the seed, and then you have to cultivate that same seed. And one thing about they found out with the expansion of the mind, your attention span is 1 minute. That's why they give you 30-minute commercials and 1-minute commercials, because after that you'll forget what came off. Isn't that amazing? Oh, these scientists, they can figure it out. That's how they sell, called Subliminal Seductive. You should get the book, and maybe it will educate you. So the female has a foundation that was created by God. Since I beat you up, as you say, I say I wake you up and make you realize how responsible you are. Did you not know Adam came from? Or do you know? Do you know where Noah came from? Do you know where Moses came from? How about Joseph? How about Abraham? How about Jesus? Did you know where Jesus came from? How about Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where did he come from? How about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Where did he come from? How about Dr. King? How about Malcolm? How about Muhammad Ali? How about Minister Louis Farrakhan? Where did Jesse Jackson come from? Where did Obama come from? Where did your father come from? Where did your brothers come from? Yes, where did your husband come from? Where did the male human being, regardless he's a prophet or he's down here on Skid Row, where did they come from? Your womb. Can no man come in this earth without coming through the womb? See how important you are? And man, as an infant, sees you as the Lord. That's why the question was asked to the Prophet Muhammad, prayers of peace be upon him, who is the most important person in your life? He said, my mother, not once, not twice, but three times his mother, and a fourth time his father. So you females are very, very highly important by God himself. So let's put this in perspective so I can lift your spirit. Because if you don't know who you are, sisters, we ain't going to make it in this world. But a woman got so much power that God says to you in the Holy Quran, obey your husband. And some of y'all get upset with that. Well, why do people tell the child in school, obey your teacher? Because the teacher can teach you something. So you should obey that teacher. Obey your parents. Because your parents is going to raise you. But God says to you, obey your husband. When God talks, brothers and sisters, you have to dig a little deeper. It's not physical. Because if it was physical, then it can't be God. Because God doesn't need material substance or a human being to represent that he's the Lord of all the world. So let's see if we can put this in perspective. And maybe this will give you a clue, mostly my Christian sisters, that anything physical attached to God is not God. No. So look at Abraham. Abraham went out searching for God, and he saw the sun rise. Isn't that physical? So he believed that was God until it set. And he said, oh, that's not my Lord. And then he seen the moon come out. And he said, oh, my God, that's my Lord. And it set. And likewise with the stars. But then he realized the one who created the sun, the moon, the stars is his Lord. Yes, that's why he's in Scripture as the prophet over top of the Jews and the Christians, Abraham. Now, to tell you, do we follow Abraham as a Muslim in Islam? Yes. So we understand he is our father. Now, don't misconstrue what I'm saying. Because our father is Adam, yes, but this is our mental father. This is the one that moves our nature to search for God and don't need no one to tell us how to find God. For Allah gave him the title of the Father of all nations. So everything physical is just for you to see it at your naked eye, but in your consciousness, you go around the world. You don't have to see China, and you don't even have to fly there. But all you got to do is just think of it, the way China looks. Think of you in China. You just went to China, and you ain't left the projects. When you read God's words, it gives it to you in a physical sense of the word, but then you got to dig a little deeper. I'm a student of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, and I take pride in saying so because that was his favorite word when I used to talk to him. Dig a little deeper. Find the reality, what all of this means, and stop being physical. So you can find God, but you got to understand that until you can understand how to serve God, you got to obey your mother. For your mother is the physical human being that you is able to kiss and hug and lay in her lap. And she holds you and rock you to sleep and fetch you from her breast and raise you to be healthy. But you can get so hung up on mama that you really believe nothing ever comes in front of mama. Why, you will give your life from your mother if you love her. However, God is preparing you to now see him. And know that you can't see him, but he can see you. When you come to that knowledge and you understand, wow, mama, I love her, but I serve the Lord that created her. Oh, you get my point now? Because she couldn't have done all these things without God giving her the will. So now you have to serve the Lord that created her. She's the Lord of the house. You hear our Jewish brothers say the country of the Lord, Israel. Why would God be just over a little country called Israel? He's the Lord of all the world. Our Jews call it Sabbath day, Lord's Day on Saturday. You got 7 days vengeance, believe that the Lord's Day is Saturday. You got Christians who believe that Sunday is the Lord's Day. But we in LSU, I know you think that Friday is our Lord's Day. No, brothers and sisters. Friday is a congregation prayer for us to stop working and give praises to God and get up and go back to work. Every day is God's day. No such thing as one day is God's day. But that is a good metaphor to get you to think. So the mother is called, the wife is called the Lord of the house. Yes, she rules. She knows what's good for you, what isn't good for you. She will clean for you. She will cook for you. Yes, and she will keep that man happy and make love to him. Oh, she's the one of the most outstanding creation that God did. So you in seventh heaven if you got a mother. But mama can't have children without a father. But look what God says. I have created Adam and Eve, meaning man and woman, as one soul. So that's how you got to see your wife. You're one soul. And you're not going to make it in this world that Satan created without coming together as man and wife. But man, you got to understand that that female is powerful. Let me paint another picture. And I'll use myself. I'm sitting in Dubai. I'm asking for $1 billion. $1 billion. And you got to understand, if you were in Dubai at 5 o'clock in the evening, it's 5 o'clock in the morning back there. So if you call home at 12, well, you may get your wife in the evening. So you get her in the evening, but back here in America, the time might be somewhere around 6 o'clock. And you call your wife, you and your meet and negotiate, and she don't pick up. That's okay, you keep negotiating. Then you wait an hour and call back at 7 o'clock. She don't pick up. And you go continue negotiating on this billion-dollar deal. And then you call back home, and she don't pick up at 8 o'clock. You excuse yourself. Excuse me. I'm going to have to take a break. Now everybody looking at each other and saying, you trying to close this billion-dollar deal. What a B, billion. Just think about it. Put it in your head. B, billion. Because you don't know about millions, more or less billion. So billion is greater than million, so it's a billion. And you go upstairs to your suite, and you dial back again, 8:30. She don't pick up. 9 o'clock, she don't pick up. So they call you downstairs and they say, hey, man, it's getting kind of late here. We've been doing this since 12 in the noon. It's about 3 to 4 o'clock here. Where are you? He said, I'm taking care of some business. I'll be now. 10 o'clock, she don't pick up. Now, you really messed up. Now, keep in mind, time is flying. At 11 o'clock, you finally get your wife. Where you been? He ain't even give her the greetings or anything. First thing you want to know, where has she been? She say, Dolly, on Wednesday, where am I? I'm at the hospital with Mama. And I stay until 10 o'clock at night. Takes me an hour to get home. And it's 11 o'clock now. Whoa. Pressure just left you. Because in your suspicious mind, you felt your wife was doing something she had not to be doing. So you almost blew a billion-dollar deal, but you don't care. You don't want to blow that woman. My God, is she powerful. So Allah sends you a story. You heard about Samson and Delilah. Samson was strong. No army could beat Samson. He could send the lions, the tigers. He would beat every one of them with the ass of a donkey. He whooped everybody with that bowl. Samson was strong as I don't know what. And so Delilah tells the 10 kings, the ruler, I'll bring you Samson. And they laughed at her. Did you bring me Samson? Yes. You in what army? I don't need no army. But I want 10 pieces of gold from each one of you. No, I'm sorry, 100 pieces of gold from each one of you. That was a lot of money back then. So they said, what else you need? I need a caravan to take my, might not even call it a tent, and place it out there in the wilderness. And let me bring my silk and my perfume. And so she set it up. Samson saw this tent out there. He walks in, look around, and smell that perfume and saw that pretty woman. What are you doing out here? Oh, Samson, I just came to meet you. You want to meet me? Yes, Samson. Okay, to make a long story short, it's a good story. I love the story every time I see the picture, but you have to understand what the story means. So, apparently, Samson and Delilah was making out. But he loved laying in her lap. And she would play with his hair. Oh, Samson, What is your strength? I don't tell nobody what my strength is. 4 days of making love. Oh, Samson, what is your strength? Didn't I tell you, Delilah, between me and my Lord? So she pushed him away. Well, Samson, a little messed up. You pushed me away. Yes, I don't want anything to do with you. But Samson wanted to make love. But she pushes him away. You don't love me, Samson. Oh, yes, I do. No, you don't. Because if you do, you would trust me with your secret. What is your strength? Well, he was whipped. So he told her his strength was his hair. So again, they make love. He wake up laying in the arms of Delilah. And he looked around, and the enemy was in the tent. He jumped up, went to grab his sword, and realized he was weak. Did you know it was his hair? Why he was weak? His hair, brothers and sisters. He cut off all his hair. Why would she do that and turn him over to the enemy? You know why? Because he loved them. He made a deal with the enemy. I will bring you, Samson, for 100 pieces of gold, but do not harm a hair on his body. So that means they couldn't break his leg, couldn't break his arm, couldn't bust him upside the head. You know how they got him? I'm going to tell you how they got him. So she is the star of Egypt. And she walks in, and the kings all give her a bow and praise her for outstanding achievement. She said, oh, where is he? He says, out there pulling the wheel. Now, this is a heavy wheel. It takes 100 men to be able to pull it, but Samson pulled it by himself. And she went out there and took her dress and swung it open so he could see her pretty legs, and he walked past her. She ran up in the front and did it again, and he walked past her. Oh, my God, something is wrong with Samson. She went back into all the kids. What did y'all do? What did y'all do? We told you, I told you not to harm a hair on his body. They said, we didn't. He's blind. He can't see anymore. He's blind. She was upset. He can't see her beauty anymore. So now she wants to visit him in the chamber. Oh, he had chains on him like an animal. She walked in, and he was meditating. And Samson said, who is that? Samson, the devil. Call her the devil, brothers and sisters. The devil. Okay, okay. But he couldn't get past that chain. Oh, Samson, I didn't want this to happen to you. They told me they wouldn't harm you. He wanted to kill her. But she trusted him. She knew he loved her. So she jumped in his arms. He could have crushed her. But he didn't. And now he upset. He wanted to take down the whole country. So Delilah said she would lead him to the post. And when she went to the post, he told her to leave. She said, she's not leaving. So you got to leave. Said, no, he's not leaving. She's not leaving. And she led him through between the two pools, and he tore it down. Now, brothers and sisters, that story is so old. It could have been Babylon, it could have been something else, but you got the point. He brought the city down. But whatever you think the name of the city, let's put it in perspective. Do you really believe there's a man that physical that can beat up everybody, can beat everything that's wrong, whether it's the animals or whatever. Well, what does this mean? What is God saying to you and I? That he had muscles in his face is muscles. This is why we do Ramadan, because we build muscles so we can operate against all adversity, all of temptation, all the things that would take you down. You build up strength in what? Strength in your moral decency, strength in your spirit, strength in your soul, strength in your consciousness. You build up faith. Those are muscles. And Samson had muscles. But what took him now? His knowledge. He lost his knowledge. Hair represents knowledge. You're not the physical hair. You think you've got the spirit. Man, I'm a good Christian, but I'm an alcoholic. You reverted back to alcohol? Yes. You lost the knowledge of God. And you selling your body? Yes. You lost the knowledge of God and you want to be everything but an upright female? Yes. The same thing with man. He wants to build muscles, the physical muscles, but don't build that one muscle in his moral strength. He comes out of prison with all those muscles. He plays football with all those muscles. He comes out of prison, he comes home as a homosexual. He comes home as a down low. He comes home as a dope dealer, a pimp. Yes, he played football. Look at his muscles, but he killed his wife in front of the coach. Yes, he kills people over dogs and et cetera. But where's the strength that Samson is talking about? And who took him down? A female. Lust. Lust. You lust for the weakness of society. It's a female. Now you want to destroy the whole city. What is the city? You. That earth. Sometimes refer to your temple. You want to destroy it. Are you saying there's no exception? No, brothers and sisters. It's a story to give you an idea because you was deaf, dumb, and blind. You was in darkness, and the physical put you in the light. But you didn't get the substance of what God is saying to you because you took it physically. Why are you physical? Because you think that's what it's all about. You don't want a wife for her heart and her soul and her personality and her character and her spirit. You don't want that kind of wife. You want the beauty and the booty. That's like Thor called the Beauty and the Beast. All these stories give you a idea of what God wants from you, but you take it physical. Yes, on this station called Blog Talk Radio, there's nothing in the Old Testament of the Injil that I can't use and show you what God means about it. I studied it for years under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but I could not define it until I accept Imam Warfi Muhammad and realize that God made one from amongst us that suffer like we suffer. And raise them up so you can't have no excuse to say, I need a foreigner to teach me. And he didn't teach me, so I don't know. I need a white man to teach me. And he didn't come to teach me, so I don't know. I need a Chinese to teach me. Why, brothers and sisters, I need an African from Africa to come to teach me. I'm American. And that's why I don't know, Lord. No, 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 you can't use that as an excuse. Why? Because Allah sent one from amongst us and raised them up. Ah. Did he have fancy clothes? No. Did he have fancy automobiles? No. Did he go to the university? No. Who taught him? who taught him? Well, let's look at it. Who taught Muhammad the prophet? Prayers and peace be upon him. Well, let's look at the Quran. Did you read it? What do Allah say? He says, simple. I'm going to teach Muhammad. Whoa. Did you know that Muhammad the prophet, prayers, peace upon him, was a student of God? Oh, you didn't know that. Well, let's look at it. You know the stupidity of the Arabs? They was unintelligent. They was walking around the Kaaba butt naked. They was practicing idol gods. They was all confused. Didn't know whether it be Judaism or Christianity or any other religion. But Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, he didn't study any of that. He couldn't tell you about God. So who was operating in his nature? Allah. 40 years. Not one, not 10. 40 years operating without knowing any revelation. And never wavered. Never. Wasn't part of this society. But what did he operate with? Good character. What did he operate with? Kindness. Trustworthy. Humble to his neighbor. That's how he operated. And never got out of his original nature. Wow. Wow. Then you read on in the Holy Quran and a lot of part of it, it says, I have taught Muhammad, meaning he passed the test. 40 years of continuity in his original nature. Now you're messed up, brother, because they want you to believe he was Arab, so all the Arabs is a superior over the Muslim. Allah knew you were going to say that. Because he was not Arab. You see, brothers and sisters, you can act like a dog, but you're not a dog in your nature. You can act like a rat, but you're not a rat in your nature. Or you can act like a pig, but you're not a pig in your nature. So you can't call Muhammad the prophet an Arab, because he is not an Arab in his nature. So what is the difference? Scholar, Uliman, Imam, what is the difference? Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, what's the difference? One is given by man, nationality, religion, language. But the nature of the human being is all the same. That was created by God. You can't take it away from him. But you can train him mentally to act other than who he is. Well, this one, they could not convince or convert. He just acted as a humble human being. Allah said, you ready? And for that, I will teach you. And then he said, I taught him and made him a messenger of God, not a prophet of God. Allah does not need prophets, for he can prophesy himself. But he needs a messenger to bring back to you and I the messenger of God. See, the difference, brothers and sisters, is that if I give you a being, with a B, I love that phrase, being, that name is good by me. I'm trying to get to the T, yes. I want to be a tree, yeah, not a being there. But if I give you that being, and I say, you take this over to North New Jersey, and you give it to the citizens of North, you can't take credit. You're just a messenger. But you can't add to it because you got no money. And you can't take away from it because then you're a thief. Well, the Holy Quran was quoted by Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, the seal of the prophet, the mercy to all humanity. But it ain't his word. He's a messenger of God. For all your big heads say, oh, he made him a prophet. No, brother. Allah didn't make him a prophet. We use the word prophet because they prophesy what God says. But he's a slave servant of God. Every prophet is a slave servant of God. But prophet to us is a word we use, prophesize. They prophesize for us. That's what they did. So we call him a prophet. He's a prophet to us. All the prophets are prophet to us. But they are not a prophet to God. Because if you say they're a prophet of God, then you say God needs to depend on someone. Come on. You better learn that God is why you and I are talking today and listening today and awake today. You can't do anything without the word of God. So Muhammad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was operated with his nature, not with his intellect, not with his knowledge of God. So God is showing you, I can operate you all by your nature. And I've sent you many signs that this is the last one. There's no more coming. But Allah said to Muhammad the Prophet, so you don't get messed up like most of these brothers are, all into the east. They don't care about their present or where they're going in their future. Well, let's look at it. Let's look at it. Muhammad, Allah says, tell them that you are mortal human beings just like them. There it is. What part did you miss? Stuck on spooky, being spooky. Tell them, Muhammad, what Allah is saying, you got the same nature as Muhammad the prophet got. Do I mean I could be a prophet? Then I just tell you there's no more coming. But can you be his nature? Yes. So we have an African-American Muslim email. Wallace Dean Muhammad says to us, it would be better if you tell them all and follow the uswa of Muhammad, not the sunnah, the uswa, because the sunnah puts them in the prophet category that you will never be. Equal the uswa, you have a right to adopt that character and adopt that nature in your subconscious mind. Not your nature. Nature knows how to be that. It's you that can't define it. So Muhammad the Prophet operated with Allah teaching him through his nature. So now the Arabs can't take credit because he wasn't raised as an Arab. And when he came to be able to read in the name of the Lord that created, that's what I'm telling you. I'm saying read, brother. Don't sit there and listen to fairy tales and think that's what's going to govern you to get to the next level in life. It's not going to do it. For when you come to the consciousness of God, you don't question God. I don't question God. You would never hear me say, well, sister, you better wear hijab, and you better wear this kind of dress, and you better wear this kind of uniform, and you don't better do nothing. Well, Allah says there's no compulsory, so I can't tell you that. So why would I teach it? Oh, brother, they accept Islam, so they cuff us. Oh, yeah? How could you say they cuff us? For they don't even know what is God's consciousness. Did you teach them? Did they learn? So how are you going to judge them what's in their conscience? You don't know. You just assume it. So there's words we just use to define one when I have no clue. But you stop worrying about everybody else. Worry about yourself. You cannot say you learned this religion and you understand it upright. for Islam is peace. And you should be peaceful. You have to be around your wife and she gets on your nerves. Oh, she does. That's what wives do. They get on your nerves. But you have to show them patience. You have to work on that. But let's get back to these husbands. Obey your husband, sister. That's what the how this all started. What is husband? Now, do you think God, you the birth of all of us? Adam came out of the womb of the earth, call it Mother Earth. Jesus came out of another earth, they call him Virgin Mary. Adams, because these two Adams came from no man, had nothing to do with it. Isn't that something? That's Jesus and Muhammad. And on the last day, they say they will be together. They are together now because we are interacting with our Christian brothers. They represent Jesus and we represent Muhammad. And are we interacting with the Jews? Likewise. But let's look at this husband and see if I can give it to you in short. When Jesus went to the river, he saw a woman laying by the river. And he said, my God, when she was in her, she had five husbands. He saw her with five husbands. But then as he got closer, he realized she took on a sixth husband. And he said, that is not her husband. Now, I want you to follow me, brothers and sisters, because brothers, you should teach this. Sisters, you should learn this. The husband is your five senses. That's the five senses God asks you to marry. Because when you marry, you make love to it. You cherish it. You care for it. You nurse it. Yes, you want to see your husband every day. So marry those five senses. And when you take on the sixth sense, because we use that loosely, oh, he must got a sixth sense. She must got a sixth sense. But in Revelation, sixth sense is when you're out your mind. Because God didn't create sixth sense. He created five senses, and it's equal. Now, we ain't talking about feel, touch, hear, see, smell. We ain't talking about them senses. Five common senses. You got to be repetition with that. That's what Jesus was talking about. But see the physical husband. So you had men running around here that say they reading, she don't obey her husband. You better obey the husband. Allah, I'm not talking about you, fool. He ain't talking about me. Allah, why would Allah tell something he created that you came out and obey you? Who the hell is you? But what Allah is saying to us, to the female, obey your five senses that I gave you. Marry them like a husband. And if you marry them like a husband, then you will be pleasing to your human being husband. Because I created you in your five senses. Now, I understand, well, I got a social degree. I got a bachelor degree. I got a doctor degree, master degree before I got the doctor. Yeah, but that's man. You see the difference, sister? That's man. God gave you those five senses in the womb of your mother. So they got to be powerful because one was given to you by God and the other one was given to you by man. How in the world do you take man's knowledge over top of the one who's the system of all knowledge? Hey, man couldn't got it. Couldn't have gotten it without the will of God. Not a leaf fall from the tree. A leaf. You know how many trees out there? A leaf can't fall if there was a fall without God willing. I remember about 2 years ago, if it wasn't last year, that you could come down Elizabeth Avenue and it looked like it was a war zone in the park, Weekway Park. Why? The leaves stayed around too long. And the snow came. And the snow landed on the leaves and broke limbs, trees came out of the earth. See? It didn't couldn't fall. How long he let it fall? And look at the reaction. I figured I'd throw that one in there. That's reality. So not a leaf falls from the tree without the will of God. So he gave you five senses. So here come Muhammad. Here come Muhammad. And Muhammad, listen to this. He says, go bathe yourself in the river five times and you'll come pure. Purify yourself and bathe yourself in the river. So you know some of the churches got you bathing in the river, and you come up clean, called baptizing. But, yeah, I don't think God will frown upon the reverend that bathes people in the river. I think his attention is honorable. It should be. But that's not what he's saying. You want to purify yourself, bathe yourself in the river five times. What is God's name? A river is knowledge. Because it's water. Water is knowledge. And now, keep in mind, I told you here was knowledge. I also told you that in the Arabic words, it has more than one meaning. You can't just run with one meaning. So you got hair, water, knowledge. Because hair represents your head. Wherever there's hair, there's strength. You don't believe that? You breathe out of your nose. Your whole body gets fresh air, energy. Got hair there. You have a mustache there where you breathe down. So that's a mustache. Got hair there. That's stress. You got hair over your eyelids that closes. You open it up, you can see. That's stress. You got hair under your, that's strength. You got muscles. You can do wonders with your arms. Of course, you got hair around your groin. Why? Because you give life. That's strength. Women have it too. But why? Because they give life back. That's strength. So hair represents strength. You think strong, not weak. You create. That's hair. So water represents knowledge. So Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, says, bathe yourself in the river five times. A river runs straight down, fluently, repetitionally, constantly. It doesn't back up. All I do is move. Don't deviate. It's moving. Well, that's the way you're supposed to use your five senses consistently. And you'll become purified with the five senses. You will learn what I'm teaching you right now. You'll see it for yourself if you would use those five senses. So marry it. Be repetition with it. Balance all knowledge on the five senses that God gave you. He gave it that to each and every one of them. That's why he called it common sense. So when you say obey my husband, if you obey the five senses that God gives you, then you revert back to the consciousness of God. Your taqwa, God conscious, obedient to God. Oh my God, do you become powerful and you start reading yourself. So one day I'm going to take a whole week and talk to you about how Mary fast and wasn't touched by a man. How Jesus said, don't touch me if I may offend you. How all that came about. And why Allah says, don't touch the Quran unless your heart is pure. Oh, I can tell you about the three sons. And the last one is Ham, and we are cursed by Ham's, because we're the son of Ham. Oh, that's just a metaphor. and Moses talking to Aaron and lead Aaron, and Jesus had 12 disciples. All of that is just a metaphor. From Genesis to Revelation, there's a perception in the Injil, the Bible. And in the Holy Quran, Revelation to Hanas is a perception. Did you get it? If you don't, go look at it. And if you take those kindergarten fairy tales out of your mind and replace it to the reality of the nature in which you were created, our picture. Oh, yes, we die in this world and we say he returns back to Allah. It doesn't mean that you went to a place. Where is this place you return back? But when you was created out of the earth, what's called Mother Earth, Adam, and God breathed some of his spirit into your nature, and you came alive, you was Allah. Oh, was you in your right state of mind? Well, you have to return back to that. That's all it means. You have to return back to that. And now you ain't of this world. But you got to work for it, because Allah will not put you into paradise unless your good outweighs your bad. And so, brothers and sisters, we have a problem with understanding that we have to come together. And, of course, that puzzles me. Almighty God, Allah, God, is everything. Everything is in his creation. Even when he raised us from the nation of Islam, we was body Christ. In the mortal, in the spirit, in the leader of the whole world, nothing could happen to prevent us to be divine, the plan of God that created us. No force in this creation could stop the growth and the success of the nation of Islam. They couldn't stop us. But we couldn't tell you consciously, like Prophet Muhammad, prayers, peace upon him, couldn't tell you why we was acting as we were acting. But God was moving our spirit. And you have to believe that. Everything in the history of man, as we know it, has been moving to bring about the creation of the people that would fit the level of the world motto. This chose people of God would be the people fitting to represent the divine truth, freedom, justice, and equality to the world, especially as black men and black sisters. This is the man, Wallace D. Muhammad, coming and teaching us this, that we had a purpose in life. We just wasn't being woken up just to be black. But we say the black man and the black woman because it lets you know that we was the only one who was called the black Muslim. And don't think that because you are a people who are divine that you are the creator of everything and you are chosen by God, that you have some kind of special magic working for you. You can only be successful in your divine mission if you be careful in all of your activities and avoid the talking and the pain that others take before your time. Man, did our ancestors suffer. And they suffered by the hands of the white man. You can only be successful as a world savior, becoming a savior for the world, if any of us take this favor of Almighty God to be license to permit us to mistreat and abuse other people, God will punish us. Now, this was given to us during the Nation of Islam, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught that we'll be punished if we fail our opportunity to be able to represent. You see, brothers and sisters, we quote the Quran and we say, travel through the earth and see what was the end of those who rejected truth. Yeah, we say that in the Quran, but how are you able to know these things and all you want to do is preach on Friday and you don't want to do anything collectively? You think Allah is going to be with us? You know, Allah justified in doing so because he had a special time for us to be able to stand up in our spirit and stand up in our soul and show that we are qualified, that we represent the truth, righteousness, justice, and universally all people in all face of the earth. Yes, that's what we have to be. We have to be on the job working for everybody. And then we knew this when we called ourselves black Muslims, black brothers and black sisters. We had a great job to do. It is not just a job to call attention to the evildoers or the black people in America. It's a job to open the way of our people. That's true. And if we don't understand that, brothers and sisters, we should thank Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes, in 1974, the Honorable Master, the man is referred to as Elijah Muhammad. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him. And he was dynamic in taking us on and defining our minds and giving us the spirit and the know-how to be strong and be an asset to America. The Nation of Islam got off their bed and stopped whining and crying and blaming everybody for what is happening to us. It was a liability. But we got up and we worked hard and to do for self. And we should thank Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes, we should. But we had to stop being babies and behaving as babies and start becoming economically and engaged into material substance. Yes, if we don't learn that, we'll never be able to come in our own and get respect for all those who referred to themselves as the white man that had the power over us. We didn't believe that. No, no, no. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us well, and we thank him for that. He gave us the expertise and the mindset and gave us the mind over all things that you could give it to, because if you give yourself to it, then nobody can stop you. You have to turn that intellectual mind over to the divine and work for your Lord. Yes, if you do that, brothers and sisters, you will become successful. We must come together as one and stop being separated, and we got to stop being hypocritical. You can't knock everybody. You can't knock people who are trying. All the preachers are not bad. There's some good ones. I speak very highly of them. You know, Dr. Howard, who's alive, Bill Howard, a fine, upright man that loves revelation. I love talking with him, love being around him. And it seems like when I speak about Christianity, he's sitting right there. He and I used to converse all the time. And Dr. Reverend Brawler, he was like my father, and he used to love for me to come to his church oh, thousands of people who come out every year and pay tribute to him. He was a bishop and always wanted me to be around. And yes, I openly give credit to him because when he passed away, his request is that I do the eulogy. Now, that would have been history within itself. I was traveling out the country, and I was not able to do it. But I take pride in that Reverend want me to give his eulogy, and I surely would have did it. You know, some of y'all spooky guns would say, oh, no, we can't do that. You see, brother, hopefully, inshallah, that I would be able to change this myth that we control God's earth. This is for the Muslims. Okay, good. You saying that that human being is not Muslim? Oh, he took on Christianity. Well, he got the answer to Allah whether he took it on good or bad. Not you. More important, he ain't here no more. He left. In that casket is God's earth. And that earth goes back where it comes from, in the earth. And the earth did not commit a sin. The thrust of the human being don't commit sins. Now, how do I know that? Well, once again, let's quote Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the enemy was coming, and that was the Jews around that time, and they was coming down for a funeral, the Prophet stood up. Abu Bakr pulled his coat and said, you stand up for a Jew. And he turned to Abu Bakr and said, quote, the flesh do not sin. And Abu Bakr got up. So how do you, in 2016, cause the body to sin? So that means your flesh is no different than that flesh as in the grave next to yours that you didn't want there. And it shows you that you have not come to the mindset that that individual that committed a sin is not in that castle. For that earth that's in that castle is Salaka. Yes, you got to feed those insects because they waiting to eat, and you holding them up, brother, with all these rituals that you have. Now, keep in mind, and I said it today, and I said I was going to say it on the radio, and I thank Allah for bringing it to my attention, is that, yes, the Christians do, they overdo it. But my God, do they not teach you who the deceased was? And that should be, I heard one of you, man, I ain't call his name, I don't hate him, I just think he speaks out of turn. One of you, man, said that's for Allah, we should not tell the accolades of the individual. Leave that to Allah. Now, that don't make common sense. And you know why it don't make common sense? And let me put it in perspective. First of all, there's no one in the hereafter came back here. So in reality, we have faith there is a hereafter. And I'll tell you what you might want to see Muhammad say about that. He said, quote, nobody knows there's a hereafter. But we have so much faith that is, if it wasn't, Allah would create it anyway. That's the mercy in God. Well, I like that. But meanwhile, nobody came back here and told us about the one that left. So if you don't tell the people that's here, so the grandchildren, the great-great-grandchildren will know what they have done. Now, reading is one thing, and you know we won't read. So I don't care what kind of program you put out. But they can hear you say how honorable this person was. Now, isn't it amazing to me? Now, let's think about it. It's amazing to me that Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has died for our Bakr said those who believe that Muhammad, and I may not say it properly, but I got the point, that Muhammad was God, your God just died. But those who believe that Muhammad passed away, Allah lives on. So what did they say? How do we know about the prophet? Because they told us about the prophet after he was gone. So why is it that we can't tell nobody, wait a minute, tell them, Muhammad, you are mortal human beings just like them. So you telling me we're not supposed to tell the grandchildren who that deceased was? and what he brought to society, and that he was an asset and not a burden, what's wrong with you all? Who gives you these understandings? It's just baffling me that y'all just say anything because you want to be looked at as if you know, and you don't know. It bothers me that I got to be the only one to raise my hand or stand up and say, that's not correct. That's not correct. The Christians got it right. You know who got it better than most of us? Go to New Orleans. They blow trumpets. They hit the tangerine. They hit the drums and everything, and they dance. Now, I'm not telling you to do that, but it does send a message that there's no ugly in death. You should be live and kicking and elated and ecstatic. Yes, you lost your loved one, but it's gone to dinner. It's gone to heaven. Who wants to stay here? You can't commit suicide, but who understands that being in Jannah is greater than being here? But you can't kill yourself. Allah says you can come to that understanding, Allah. And then next thing you know, you're committing suicide. No, that's a sin. You must live out the destiny that I've given you. And I will try you all the way to your grave. And first comes difficulty, then comes ease. So God is saying to you, chump, that you want to lock yourself up by yourself with no lights, no TV, no radio. And all you want to do is pray at home and feed your children on the floor on some paper plates. No forks, no knives. You want to live in the ancient world. This is modern technology, man. And everything that God has allowed man to do, and that is to create the material substance. Get a piece of this thing, yeah. But don't neglect the hereafter, meaning don't sell your soul. They don't teach like this. So we are now judging human beings in the earth. Act like it is our earth. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to change it in my lifetime. And I'm going to make a dent. Because when you tell me I can't bury one of my family members in a grave site I created, and then going to tell me they ain't a Muslim. Yeah, that's how you stuck on stupid. Everything in creation is a Muslim. The birds, the bees, the ants, the animals, the trees, the seven seas, it's a Muslim. The sky, the rain, the hail, it's a Muslim. Everything submits to the will of Allah. So what parts you didn't know? Oh, of course, there's three religions that's named. There's 100 religions or more. But religion doesn't change the nature of the human being. Your intellect changes you. By them Muslims running around killing Muslims, that say they're Muslims. And saying Allahu Akbar and doing it. What makes them different than that Christian that won't do that? For whatever they decide to do, they will be judged on the final day of judgment. But that earth goes back to the earth, man. You can't separate God's earth. For he says, here we go again, Abu Majid Allah. Abu Majid Allah. That's Allah talking. His whole earth. His whole earth. What part you got? If a mess did. So you say because she put or he put Christian on that earth, oh, that's not Allah's mess kid? Oh, the Jew went in that earth. Oh, that's not Allah's mess kid? Oh, his flesh went in there. That's not Allah's creation? Oh, that Hindu went over there. Is that Allah's earth? Come on, brothers and sisters. Why are we letting somebody with a foreign understanding, you know what a dangerous man is? One who won't have his own mind, won't stay in his own skin. These are simple things. I can sit here and go over Fatiha and show you the seven levels and break down every word there is in Arabic, but it ain't going to pay your rent. It just makes me look good because I'm capable of doing that. But I talk like this. I put it in everyday life so you can understand why you say what you say. Brothers and sisters, your thing is a no-no because Allah, just listen, Allah says when it comes to man and woman, 2, 3, or 4. Then you come back and say, oh, he says if you only but know, 1 is enough. Yes, 1 is enough if you ain't capable of having 2 cars. 2 is a burden. That's common sense. And that's in English. That's common sense. That 1 car more than 2 or 3 or 4 is better than 1. If you can't handle the 4 cars, you got to put gasoline in it. You got to put oil in it. You got to put new tires on it. You got to make sure the engine runs right. You got to keep it clean. You can't afford that, broke man. So what are you thinking about more than 1 car? Now, I'm not referring to material substance with the human being. That's not what I'm saying. But I am painting a picture. You get it? I'm painting a picture. So who are you, sister? Who are you, brother, to tell me that God made a mistake and say 2, 3, or 4? Allah is the best knower, and you can't figure it out, so it must not be for you. Because Allah blesses who he pleases when he pleases. And you've got a nerve to question God with your unintelligent self. And then you want to say, oh, he says he should treat them all equally. That don't even make no sense. You all was created equal in this world. But on the final day of judgment, you're going to be judged by your actions. Oh, you should treat them all equally. Well, God is not even going to do that. So go back and read it again. In Arabia, it says justly. Oh, that makes sense now. Because all of us are created equal in this world, but on the final day of judgment, because every day is judgment day, on the final day of judgment, you will be judged. You will be judged justly. Makes a lot of sense, don't it? Well, the same way of having more than 1 wife. She is judged justly. She can't be equal to God when you are not doing anything to put yourself in that position. Now, I'm not saying we men are God. Don't take words from me and misconstrue what I'm saying. But let me put it in perspective. God says that one of us, out of a being, is more mindful of their duties to him, and that's the one he chooses to get more than anyone else. I thank you for listening to me, and I hope I said something to allow you to stand up in your spirit and your soul and revert back to your al-fitra and your God conscience, your taqwa, and be obedient to God. Give that credit to God. Don't give it to me. But if I spread any words, I'm human. But if I said anything to offend you, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. I greet you from all the prophets, from Adam to Noah to Moses to Jesus to Abraham to Muhammad. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon the prophet. From the Arabic word from the Holy Quran, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and I thank you all for listening.